Loosey goosey, Mike.
Yeah, well,
I'm feeling good.
I bet.
I'm feeling real good.
I bet. Okay, all right. My office. The final frontier. These are the recordings of the Exploding Barrel podcast. To talk about video games. To sometimes talk about Disney. To very occasionally talk about pro wrestling.
You're calling this your office?
Wait, whoa. This is way more of an office than... Wait. Yes, this is where I literally work.
You know, I said it, I thought I... Fair point.
Yeah.
Fair point.
The room where I work my 9-to-5 job?
Fair point.
Yes, you asshole, it's my office. This is your office. Yes. You think I just play Overwatch in here?
Yes.
I mean, I do.
I mean, no. World of Warcraft 2.
Yeah. Oh, your office? Fuck you. Yes, my office. It's not my man cave. That is guy.
Oh, God, it hurts.
Jesus Christ. Drink your blats. You are blats. All right. Pull it together. Take a sippy sip. What is he? You see, he's met two of your criteria already. What do you mean, some sort of consciousness, even the smallest degree? What is he then? I don't know. You know?
Oh, God, it just doesn't end.
All right.
Okay.
Welcome to the Exploding Bro podcast, where AJ may have had a few. This is Mike Minotti. I had a few too, but I can hold it better than some people, apparently.
Apparently, I don't know. What did I drink?
All right.
I had three beers, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we're on such a high, a Star Trek high.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's what it was. So, yes, welcome to the show where we are talking mostly about Star Trek Picard, which is going
Patrick
to be.
Patrick.
No one knows that reference. All right. So welcome to the show. We're going to be talking about Picard Episode 1. It's going to be a spoiler discussion of that. If you don't want to hear that, don't listen to this episode. Like, the other video game things we're going to talk about are probably like Hearthstone and World of Warcraft, which you already hear about us from all the time, but there were updates to those things. But Picard is the big happening this week. We just watched it and some supplemental material. So I guess let's just get into that.
Do the 10,000-foot view, Mike. What'd you think?
I thought it was really cool.
It was pretty fucking awesome.
It's great. It's almost hard to be. I can't just watch it like super critically because I love Star Trek. I love Star Trek: The Next Generation, and this is like the first new thing with Patrick Picard, Jean-Luc Picard in it. Since Nemesis in 2002, when I was in high school, when I went to go see that, you were in high school still too, right?
I thought you just started college because it was the fall.
Just started college.
Wow, so, that's hard to believe.
Just seeing that character there and just seeing like 24th century Star Trek stuff again and cars and all that stuff. But I'm gonna tell you what, like 2 hours before it started, I was like, "This is gonna be bad, isn't it? It's gonna be real bad and cynical and awful." And it wasn't.
It was great.
It was exciting and interesting. They're doing some very deliberate things, kind of just talking about our world, the kind of insular nature of our world today, and like the Starfleet in this show is kind of projecting that. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, it's doing a good job of being a part of the bigger mythos. It's talking about the destruction of Romulus. It's referencing events from Nemesis. It's not, like, shying away from any of that stuff.
Yeah.
There are a lot of other... And I hate to say, like, ooh, the references, because it sounds... I know that can sound a little, I don't know, fan service-y.
Right, yeah.
But you it's know, good.
It's doing that without feeling cheap.
Right.
It feels earned.
Right. And, I mean, to be fair, the only... two characters in this thing that are that we like have known from Next Generation are Picard and Data. Mm-hmm. So it's not like super kind of working off nostalgia. It's a lot of new characters. But there was, I mean, it was also bizarre, even compared to Discovery, how modern it all looked. There's almost kind of like this dreamy, like, kind of like way that the...
Well, there's a lot of B-roll of vineyards.
Yeah.
You know, sun-drenched vineyards in France. Mm-hmm. So that helps. But, like I said, especially having watched an episode of TNG tonight as well, like, just how differently it's shot, you know?
Right, right.
I mean, visually, it looks better than Nemesis did, you know?
Yeah, well, because it's not, you know, so much of Star Trek is shows that are filmed on the same four sets they use every day, then...
It was a TV
maybe
show.
Maybe some, like, other things they built, which, you know, it's fine.
It was late 80s, early 90s,
right, but this
serialized
is,
TV show.
Yeah, but this is definitely not that. I mean, you know, Patrick Stewart is still just incredible.
Oh, he's so good.
He still is always so good at, like, somehow having that gravitas and also warmth to him.
Yes.
It's like, it's very,
exactly. So, like, you know...
It's the reason why he's so good at being, Scrooge and, like, you know, his Charles mm-hmm. Dickens.
Well, stuff. You know, so there's the scene where Dodge, who is the, again, we're in spoiler territory here, everybody, buckle up, who's you know, an android
right.
of some sort, and she goes to him saying, like, I don't know what's going on, I had this weird thing happen, and he's just like, I believe you, I'm here for you, like, it's just,
it's comforting.
It's very chicken soup.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. I'm like, yes, Picard is here, he's good.
Yeah, he's gonna take care of everything.
Right, right. We didn't have morally gray Picard. Earl Grey Picard.
Hey!
And you know, he's drinking plenty of Earl Grey tea, and that's like...
Decaf.
I felt... So what do you think that she's dead?
Yeah.
You think she's just dead?
I think she's just gone. Now we go to the sister.
That was a little rough.
I don't know why she, like, melted, because that Romulan spat blood on her.
I forget if Romulan blood is corrosive, or I think maybe that Romulan, like, ate, like, the equivalent of a cyanide pill or something.
Yeah, there had to be more to
it. I
feel
like there might be something more to her. I don't know if she's gone, but, you know, it sets the stakes for we have to find the sister.
They did keep talking about, with Agnes, about how, like, one neuron was enough to replicate, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure there's some piece of her
left.
When the
Romulans in the beginning attacked her, they said, where are the rest of them? Implying more than just one sister, even. So there's something more there, I think. But it's cool because, you know, this whole conceit that this is Data's daughter, even early on, I'm like, she kind of looks like Lol from the episode Next Generation.
And how bizarre is it? Before we started watching the show, Chris was over watching the show with us. He was too tired to podcast, and then, unfortunately. But we were just kind of chit-chatting before the show started up, and he said, like, didn't Data have, like, a sister? And you corrected him that he had a daughter who died in that very episode.
Right.
Kind of a good thing to have in mind as we watch this.
It's literally supposed to be Lol, but it's not quite that. Although I think the painting Data made is obviously based, is supposed to be Lol. And then we learn later that maybe Maddox kind of took that painting to inspire him to make these two. All
right, let's detour. Okay. Let's talk about Dr. Bruce Maddox. And you're...
Yes, I'm a fan.
I don't think you get enough credit for how well you've known this series, TNG.
Well, Star Trek hasn't come up a whole lot since we started doing this show because there hasn't really...
It's been kind of dormant.
Right, we've had Discovery, but...
And we had the three movies.
Right, but yeah, I mean, people may not know just how much of a Trekkie I am, I guess.
There was a point, you've atrophied on this a little bit, but you're still pretty good. I could say, you know, Mike, what was the episode where, and I'm just trying to think, like, pull one out of my ass right now, you know, where they all are Robin Hood on the holodeck, and you'd be like, oh, that's...
Cupid.
Yeah, what season?
That one's probably 4.
You
I used to be like...
There's a time you'd be like, oh, that was Cupid, season 4, episode 17.
Right, yeah.
Like, you just knew.
Yeah, I watched these shows a lot.
He goes to this lab in Okinawa. He meets Dr. Agnes.
The Daystrom Institute.
Thank you.
Which is a big part of Star Trek lore, so I was very excited.
Thank you. And she very offhandedly mentions Dr. Bruce Maddox was working on this. He disappeared. No one knows where he is. And you're like, that's the guy from Measure of a Man. And sure enough, we fire up. And again, I'm like opening up the CBS. We're like, it's in season two. I'm like, okay. And we watch that episode again.
But that one's easy because Pulaski's in that episode.
Right. And it is, like you said, and like we discussed after watching it, probably one of the best episodes
that show is my made. Favorite episode of maybe any TV show ever is Measure of a Man, Star Trek Next Generation. It's the episode where basically they have a trial to see if Data is sentient and has, like, basic rights. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, as everything you want from Star Trek The Next Generation, especially a Picard speech about morality.
Yes.
Which is, like, give it to me.
No action in the whole episode. It's all prose.
Yes. It's like a play, basically.
It is.
It's great.
As you correctly remembered, the guy who was the one wanting to experiment on Data is Dr. Bruce Maddox.
Right. And this is the only episode he appears in, but he's referenced in Data's Day, which I think is season 5 of Next Generation. And it's established that kind of after this rocky start in Measure of Man, him and Data become pen pals because he's working on robotics and he wants to make androids like Data. So we know that they become friends and they communicate a lot. So it makes sense that if anybody in Starfleet is going to kind of crack the code on androids, it's going to be Bruce Maddox. And I love that, like...
And I'm telling you, if like, by, like, episode 4 or 5 of this show, if that dude comes back...
Right?
That's gonna be pretty fucking rad.
Well, that girl, she said that was her father, right?
No, her mentor.
He's the one who recruited her
to the robotics.
Mentor.
Yeah.
Agnes... Okay, Agnes was her name, right?
Yes, yeah, I forget her last
name. We only had a little bit of her, but I like her. And she's like a full-on cast member,
yeah,
right?
like it looks like she's joining the crew.
Right.
Is going to evolve here.
Right. So, it's interesting just how much Romulan stuff is here, too. And there's a lot of questions, because...
I mean, I love that, like, there's two Romulans living with Picard.
Presumably. I assume they're Romulans and not emotional Vulcans. They have to be Romulans.
Yeah.
And we get this, like, we learn that Picard was, like, spearheading this effort to evacuate Romulus... And then, like, Starfleet was kind of like, eh.
Yeah, Romulans are kind of assholes.
Right. It's like, well, yes, but they don't all deserve to die. And again, it's kind of this, you know, this Trump's America Brexit thing. It's like, you know, we have to look after our own. Like, America first, right? Mm-hmm. Federation first.
Yeah.
And this is basically what they're doing there. And we find out that Picard is so upset that he resigns and leaves Starfleet.
No, I have to watch again. There was a lot of exposition in that interview scene. Like, you got to be paying attention. So... He was going to take ships to Romulus to evacuate, but they were being stationed on Mars, and that's when they were attacked by synthetics?
No.
Okay, correct me here. I got a little lost.
All this stuff with Romulus happens. Picard wants to go save a lot of Romulans. Starfleet says yes. I think they do save some, and then Starfleet's like, no, we're not going to do this anymore, was my understanding.
So they started, but didn't finish.
Yeah, they didn't save as many as they could have, with, like, millions of lives.
Okay.
Separately... On Mars, which is established in Star Trek to be, you know, habitable now, and very famously has a shipbuilding yard where Enterprises are built and other such famous ships. Very famous shipyard. There's some kind of a revolt among synthetics, not androids, so not like sentient robots like Data, but synthetics for some reason go haywire and like set the planet on fire, and the planet is still like on fire.
Okay.
So like Mars has a habitable planet is gone.
And there's allusion to that, too, in that very beginning scene where he's playing poker with Data, and Mars is out the window, and it, like, blows up.
So there's this combination of the thing that happened with Romulus, and then as a result, because what happens on Mars, do they ban synthetics entirely, say we're not doing this anymore, and so on.
And that's what pushed Picard out of Starfleet.
Right, because he also has an important tie to synthetics through Data and all that. So yeah, a lot of exposition, but it was being delivered, like, pretty smartly and in an entertaining way. It didn't just feel like a dump of info, necessarily. And, like, there is a lot that has to be kind of explained here, because we haven't seen these characters in so long, and there has been so much
time. It's been 20 years.
Right. I was kind of glad, like, I was almost going to get the impression that Picard was going to be some weird loner living on this, on his vineyard, and I'm like, that almost seems weird. Like, he still has friends,
right,
you know?
Right,
he's got people working. It's not like he's out there picking grapes, right?
Yeah.
It's like operation. But, man, it just... I when it was ending, and then the big twist at the end, what exactly is going on this Romulan reclamation site of a Borg cube? What is going on there?
Yeah.
Are they excavating it? Why is
like was it a convenient orbital base that they were able to?
I mean, we know that Borg are going to be a big part of this series, mm-hmm.
We know Nine's going to be in it. Hughes, we know Hughes in it, yeah.
So, like, the Borg are going to be important, and, you know, we're going to have to figure it out why soon.
So let me ask you this. Yes. I know this might be hard to answer. Obviously, we're big Star Trek nerds. If you didn't know anything, if you basically knew who Patrick Stewart was, and you knew Star Trek existed, like, do you think, like, this show would make sense?
No.
Yeah.
I think,
it's,
no.
It's a little hard.
I think it's fine, but this is a show for Star Trek fans. I mean, yeah, if you're that curious in it, go watch Star Trek The Next Generation, I would say. Which, to be fair, you don't need to see the original series to appreciate The Next Generation.
Yeah, this is very, TNG so right. far.
Mm-hmm. With know. A little bit of the new movies, just because of the whole Romulus thing. Right. Specifically 09, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if you'd call that a criticism of it, necessarily. But, that's what I like about it, because from Next Generation to Voyager, there was kind of a continuous, like, I don't want to say storyline, but things were always moving forward, and things would be referenced between those shows. Like, events that happened in Next Generation could become important in Voyager.
Especially when they had that period of time when they were on air at the same time.
Right, right. Well, Deep Space Nine and Voyager were on air at the same time. Yeah, Deep Space Nine and Next Generation. But, so, and I kind of missed that. It felt like a very tight universe, but, like, big universe. But, again, it was always sort of growing. And once we started going to prequels, it felt like a lot of that was maybe lost. And when they tried to not, it got kind of weird. Like, oh, the Ferengi are in Enterprise, even though we make first contact with them in The Next Generation. And stuff like, you know, it's like, oh, well, we're going to meet the Ferengi, but they're not going to find out their name. So they don't know, you know.
Yeah,
so
there's Borg in the Enterprise. Yeah. There's like a weird time travel thing from first contact. That one kind of made sense.
Sure. But yeah, you know,
they're like, that guy cured the Borg, but they forgot about it 200 years later.
Yeah, Phlox figured it out with a bunch of scraps. But yeah. So, more than anything, I'm really just, I can't wait for the next
episode. It's just fun to be back in this headspace. Yeah. Even Discovery, as much as I like that show, it has very much, it has that TNG, the original series DNA to it.
Well, that, first, everything had the original series DNA for, like, 2 decades for a while because of the new movies, then Discovery. It is so nice to be back in that 24th L-Cars, you know?
That TNG headspace is just so good.
I like original series and all that stuff, but when I think Star Trek, I think
This is our bread and butter. Right. This is what got us into
this
show.
This is what I was watching in middle school from my dad's old VHS tapes that he got from a mailing list when I fell in love with the show.
Yeah,
you know?
God, like, it's so funny. We wanted to watch with Dad tonight, but unfortunately 9:30 at night's too late for him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's so funny to think back. He tried to get us to like Star Trek when we were little, and it just didn't take until we were like middle school, high school age.
I got into it in I think 7th or 8th grade because my one friend was really depressed because Voyager was ending. It was the 7th season of Voyager, so I actually watched the finale.
Yeah, I remember watching the finale live.
2 episodes before that, I was actually watching Voyager live for a little bit, and that's when I. And then I realized my dad had all these tapes, so...
Yeah, he had, like, in, like, a closet in his office, just, like, all these where are those?
And then, like, I have them.
You have them?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're in your basement right now?
Yeah. Ooh! Well, I'm keeping those things.
That's not like we're gonna do anything with it.
Those things are great.
I know.
They're beautiful boxes, I know. Mm-hmm. Like, they have, like, a weird magnetic opening. They're great. They're fantastic VHS tapes. And each one had 2 episodes, and I would just put one of those on, and I would be as happy as could be, I tell you what. And it was funny because, like, they weren't marked by season, and my dad, you know, he just had to jumble them, so I actually tried to go by the star dates because they were listed on the boxes, which is not perfect, but
right, right.
I mostly saw them in order. But it's shortly after that was when the DVDs were coming out, and it was, like, one of the first shows to really, and it started with The Next Generation, to be, like, the whole seasons of a show coming out on DVD.
Yeah, that's true.
And it was, like, one season would be $120. Because they're like, well, this is a lot. We used to give you a VHS with 2 episodes on it and charge you $20 for that. So
right.
This is a big value.
Yeah.
Now we have Netflix.
Right.
But, and then after all of Next Generation came out, then Deep Space Nine was released on DVD. So then I finally got to watch that and Voyager and Enterprise was happening live, and it's so funny because for so long that was just like the current state of things, and like even that was 20 years ago now.
Yeah,
like
hard to believe.
Yeah, so but yeah, again, it's just so incredible that I watched the new episode of Star Trek with Picard in it tonight.
It feels does it delight you in a strange way to say, yeah, I met Patrick Stewart.
I did. I got him to sign one of the DVD box sets actually. It was the season 5 one, because that's my favorite season, and it has the Inner Light and other great episodes.
He was very delighted that he had a blue Sharpie to match the box.
Each of the seasons had like a kind of primary color, and that one was blue. He's like, "Ooh, I have a blue pen for this. This is very nice."
I was very excited when I met him. This was at was it Columbus Con?
It was Columbus WonderCon.
Yeah. I remember going up to him. Anytime I meet a celebrity, if I get a chance, I like to be a little off the beaten path, I guess. So I remember going up to him and going like, sir, in addition to all the incredible things you've done over the years, this might sound silly, but I really enjoyed the Olympic skit you did for Funny or Die this summer.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, weren't they all just fantastic? Like, he was so happy that, like, I knew what that was.
You were great as the Pharaoh and the Prince of Egypt.
Yeah, right?
And he was.
It's true. It's true. I really enjoyed your role in Chicken Little, sir.
Oh, yeah, he was in that thing.
He was in that movie.
But I am glad that we didn't use the premiere of Picard to watch Measure of a Man. Like, that wasn't the excuse to do it. I just want to watch more Next Generation tonight now.
I know, like I said, this has me very much, like, immediately. I'm like, kind of watch a lot of Star Trek right now. All the Star Trek, please.
Just give it to me.
So, it's interesting. Obviously, I think this will draw a lot of comparisons to Mandalorian. Just because, it's Star Trek, Star Wars again. But what I like, what I love about Mandalorian is it took a world we knew and showed us a different corner of it. What this show is doing, it's taking us not only back to a universe we haven't been in for a while, but it is Star Trek Picard. It's about this guy.
Right.
And
I mean, it seems...
Which Star Trek's never done before.
Right. And it seems like there's going to be kind of a crew eventually, but it's still not clear, like... I still don't think it's going to be, like, a Next Generation or Deep Space Nine crew.
Right, yeah.
I just want to think it can't be, because this isn't a episodic show. This is, like everything now. It's a, one big narrative serial show.
Right.
So it's not like... You're not going to have time. Like Next Generation, like what we saw with... Measure of a Man, they would do, this is the Data show.
Yeah.
So we can, here's the beginning, middle, and end of that, and then it's kind of wrapped up, and those events will matter later, but it's not like one.
We're not going to get like the Dr. Agnes episode. I mean, we might like get like some backstory for her.
Right. Like, there'll be episode where maybe she's like, kind of folk. It's like that season one episode of Discovery where, what's the alien? Shran?
Oh,
whoops. The tall, weird alien there. But, like, they're on
Saru.
The... Saru. Where they were on the planet, and he was, like, and they were still, like, kind of moving over the basic plot, but it was sort of focused on him. It'll be like that. So, and then later we'll find out that people eat him.
Yes. Terrifying turn of events, turns out.
All right. Any other thoughts on Star Trek?
I'm very excited. And hey, it comes out every Thursday, and we tend to record on Thursdays. So, hey.
I tell you what, it's a good thing. It's not like, just like, here's the whole season. Because I wouldn't sleep.
I hate it. No, here's why I hate it. Like, The Witcher is a show I'm very interested in. I haven't just started it. It's kind of like... It's that argument, like where people who don't like open world games because, like, I don't know what to do. It's the same thing. Like, just the fact that every episode is there with The Witcher, it's just, like, overwhelming. Because, like, where do I stop? If I start watching it, like, 9:30 at night, where do I stop? That's why I like Mandalorian. Every Friday night,
sometimes a Wednesday randomly.
Yes, get the kids in bed, give the wife a hug and a kiss, say, okay, see you in 45 minutes. And I go in the basement, I fire up my 4K TV, and I watch The Mandalorian. I love it.
Have you cleaned out that basement?
No. It's on our short list.
Don't you have some free time now?
A little bit. I'll tell you what. I love my children, Michael.
You're spending a lot of time with them.
I need to find a job.
Yeah, I bet.
Real bad.
I bet.
Real bad. I'm so happy. I'm now that parent who's like, tomorrow's a school day.
Oh, God. Can't send Walt to school yet, though.
No, it's like I said, I had Walt in the car. Obviously he can understand me. And we were driving to go grocery shopping. I said, man, buddy, why couldn't I have gotten laid off in the summer or while your sisters were in kindergarten?
Oh, how good is kindergarten going to be, though?
Oh, a bus is going to come get them, Mike. It's a wonderful public service. My tax dollars at work.
Kindergarten's daycare. I don't care what you call it.
No. Okay. Let's completely go off the rails here.
Well, we're done with Star Trek. We're transitioning.
Like, kindergarten is where you, like, learn the alphabet, right?
Yeah.
like that's like not people. The truth anymore. They're supposed to like know all this shit before kindergarten.
That's so weird to me.
But my kids also don't know this shit.
Well, because
No, their kindergarten class is too big. There's supposed to be like 10 kids in it. There's 23.
You mean their preschool class?
Or preschool, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's too many kids.
But you show me them salute doing the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, where Sophia's like just rubbing her eyes and clearly not doing it.
Yeah, she must have slept very well.
That's very
maybe
possible.
She's a commie.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know.
I guess we haven't asked her about her preferred socioeconomical system.
What are your thoughts on capitalism, Sophia?
Which one has Sonic the Hedgehog to it?
Her answer would be poopy.
Yeah, it's poopy.
Yes, everything's poopy.
She started doing this thing where, on the behest of our brother Chris, where she imitates me by putting on her fake glasses, sticking her gut out and going, I'm Uncle Mike.
No, just do that. She literally stood up on like a little tumble mat that Chris literally had glasses on and just put her belly out, which went, and it was the greatest thing ever.
Chris loves
it. Oh, it was incredible. Anyway, let's talk about some video games. How about that Hearthstone?
Yeah.
What do you think of the single-player adventure? I finished it.
I like the flavor of it a lot.
Yes.
I like the League of Explorers playing the League of Evil. And I know there's a hard mode, but normal mode
it's very easy.
It's like, it's free cards. It's nothing.
I mean, they give you cards that are just like, this is the card that wins you the game.
And at least the one where you're Khadgar, it's like you're almost so overpowered, it's kind of amusing.
Right, because the thing had like 150 health at least.
The other ones, it's just like, you're just like playing the cards that give you, you win.
The fight... Where you were Reno? Or again, no. Which one was it? Where now I forget what the conceit was. There was one where it was like some weird trick with the magic every time. It wasn't fighting against Reno. Because I just did
was
that
Reno
one.
A card and then the grapple thing takes him away?
Was it that one?
Because that wasn't very hard.
No, there was one where it was like...
It must have been one of the evil
every
ones.
Every time you played a spell, something bad happened.
Okay, this must be an evil one because I didn't play this.
I forget. There was one that was a little tricky.
She says
so. No, I'm thinking of the tavern brawl they did.
You dummy. Yeah, doesn't count.
Yeah, no, it doesn't count.
So that.
Never mind. Yeah, that's right.
The heck with that.
Yeah, they were easy. I pay my $20.
It's cute.
Like, let me play around, get some story, give me my cards.
Yeah, it's cute. They also updated Battlegrounds.
I haven't played since the update. Have you played either of the new heroes?
I think I played.
Have you been Tyrion yet?
I haven't been Tyrion. Who's the other hero they added? I think I played them, maybe. Maybe I didn't. But
it's a neutral guy.
No, Tyrion's a neutral guy.
Right, okay. Wait, what was it?
Maybe, anywho. it's kind of a weird update because it adds two new demons. Got rid of one.
Yeah, the Voidwalker,
which is interesting. But adds two new demons. They're both pretty good. The one's really good.
Yeah.
They're both low cost, so that's kind of continuing. So, like, already in the game, demons were good. And the game was very sort of mid-rangey. And that, like, when Battlegrounds first launched, everybody was just kind of getting to, like, Tier 5 as soon as they can, and kind of...
Well, you wanted that Lightforge, dude.
You wanted a Lightforge, you wanted to get your Mega Sword and stuff like that. It's a very mid-range game now. Things like games are faster, a lot of people are going out kind of before people can really hope to get to Tier 5, and people aren't leveling up as fast as they used to, because if you just start leveling up and you don't develop a good board earlier...
Yeah, a lot of people will, like, stay at Tier 3, because there's good cards at Tier 3.
Like, at Demons now? All the good Demons... Like, all the demons you need to have a good set, it's three and below.
There's very, like, the only good thing is, like, a tier five, what's his name?
Mal'Ganis.
Yeah, Mal'Ganis, maybe.
Which you maybe need if you're taking too much damage, and you can get a Void Lord kind of helps,
but not
necessary.
That card's not even that great.
It's good with the machine gun guys, the people that, the pingers.
Yeah.
But you want to do that way later. You can just stay on three forever, and you get those things. If you take damage, they get stronger. If you play a minion, you get stronger. It just seems easy right now.
I haven't played with the new patch, but demons always felt to me like, if you go in all in on demons, you'll get in the top four, but you won't win.
You can win now. The one thing that's going to beat you...
is poison.
Poisonous Murlocs with Divine Shield are going to beat just about anything. Mechs can still beat you if they have a really good mech build, but demons are really strong right now because you can just get a ton of stats. And like the one downside with demons is that you have to take away your own health to play a lot of them, so you can't afford like a loss. If you're playing like
you got to do it early.
You got to do it early, but the thing is, like, you could be on a giant win streak and still ultimately come down to one health because you're using your health to make your minion stronger. And every once in a while, you're just going to lose a game, maybe, because somebody's stronger than you at
or
that
RNG
point.
Or RNG gets
right,
you or
you know, whatever. So, yeah, it sort of you know, you don't have as much room to play around with. So, but I don't know, it just seems weird to me that they made demons so much stronger in this batch, but...
Yeah. Beasts, I feel like the ones need help next. Beasts are... They're struggling.
Beasts seem like the... At least when it first launched, because a mama bear was like, oh, beasts are so good. And yeah. Like, eh.
Everyone figured out how to get around it.
Yeah, everyone figured that
one out.
Well,
I'll tell you what.
Like, if they buffed mama bear so it was back to, like, the 5/5s, not the 4/4s, it would not make a difference.
No. What I like about this game so far, you know, it's been out a little over 2 months now. They change it frequently, which is good because it keeps it from getting stale.
Right, it is good.
And keep getting some. I like the frequent updates to it. It just keeps it fresh. Yeah. I don't know how long they think they can maintain that. It's still like beta.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if there's like another really big change. This was a relatively big one. Mm-hmm. Two new heroes, two new cards, one card gone.
What I like now is they used to be pretty strict about only 24 heroes in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
They've gone beyond that now.
Yeah, now they're just like, yeah, whatever.
So it means, like, you know, you're not going to see Rafam in every game.
Right, right. Or Nefarian. Another Nefarian. Ugh. I can't have Divine Shields because Nefarian's playing.
Yeah, right.
Great.
Penny agrees. So, World of Warcraft. Mike, why are you so bad at Hero Visions?
I'm sorry that I am ambitious and want to push myself to the limit and not just settle for mediocrity.
I just wanted to finish the boss, and you're like, nah.
No, you gotta go try to get the other... Okay, listen.
Look, I have a quest.
Listen! I gotta explain what the hell you're talking about.
And then I'll tell everyone why you're wrong.
There's a new mode in World of Warcraft called Horrific Visions, where you go into these kind of Lovecraftian horror versions of the two capital cities, either Stormwind or Orgrimmar. It depends on the week. And the whole point is that you go in there and there's basically like your sanity is dropping. Mm-hmm. And there's some ways to get it back, but ultimately it's a finite resource. You got to do what you can before you can get out. And there's a talent tree, so eventually you're going to have like enough talents and sanity that you can do everything in there. But no matter what, in order to get like the best rewards, you have to just beat the one boss they start you by. But if you can beat the 5 or 4 other bosses around there first, you get extra rewards.
Mm-hmm.
So typically you want to go fight some of the other bosses, then go finish the first guy. But when you're starting, you probably can't do much more than just kill the first boss. Now, on my own, I had gotten to the point where I could kill another boss and then the last boss. Now, you wanted me to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And to be clear, in order to do these things, you need a resource that you can only get so much of each week. So you can only, like... do 2 of these a week, maybe, anyway. So, yeah. You can't just keep doing these. So, they are precious, in a way. So, you want me to do 2 of these with you? You want to just go fight the boss and get some loot? I'm like, no, we're going to go fight the other boss. Do you want to go into the story now so you can yell at me?
All right.
And distort about how I'm the...
The first time through, it's fine. We're like, we didn't quite know where to go, so we wasted a little bit of time there. We get into, like, the second section of Stormwind, where the kind of tweaked that area... is your characters keep imagining there's fire on the ground. And this fire doesn't hurt you, but it causes your character to involuntarily leap into the air, interrupting any casting, and knocking you out of position.
The interrupting the casting was what I forgot to account for.
So, you know, we get to like an elite mob, and we realize our sanity is getting low, and you get 3 charges per run, shared amongst your team, to cast a spell that creates like an aura that refills your sanity. So we're like, oh shit, we're running out of sanity, we need to kill this thing, and it's going to be close, and we like kill the thing, but then right then our sanity ran out. Okay, so we go to do our second run. And I'm thinking, okay, let's just play it safe and go kill the boss.
Like, no. And I, right through, was like, no, we can go kill that other boss we have learned from before, it'll be fine.
For whatever reason, this time, even though we were making faster progress, our sanity was still really low, and... I said, before we went into this new district, we should refill our sanity. We were at, like, 10%.
I thought we could kill one 10%. More guy.
And you're like, no, we could kill one more thing. And we, like, run in.
Min-max that
to attack, like, some trash mob. And you're like, okay, I'm going to cast the orb now. But your character's jumping from imaginary fire.
I didn't think there's going to be imaginary fire.
Not only did it make you jump to avoid, like to interrupt your casting, it made you jump into a group of mobs.
Exactly.
And you can't cast the spell while you're in combat.
That was unlucky. How could I have foreseen?
So we're like, oh shit, you need to kill these guys so we can cast this thing. And same thing. We killed the last one as we ran out of sanity and died. And I still haven't finished this quest.
Yeah, I know you need so much loot so you can start doing the raid ads. magic Mike, guy. Yeah.
I'm unemployed. I think I'm just gonna become a Twitch streamer now. That's my clearest career path, Mike.
Yeah. But anyways, they are very fun. I like the.
They are cool. I do like it.
I almost wish I could do more.
I know, it sucks how they're gated like that.
You need to run basically dailies, and so much of Modern World of Warcraft is running dailies. And at least the dailies are taking place in like these reimagined areas of two
old Doom and the Vale of Eternal Blossoms. I'm glad that
they're just doing something with those two zones instead of like, where's another new zone?
Yeah, there's another island.
Yeah, I guess, exactly. It's like, no, there's so many zones that they made for World of Warcraft, it's kind of silly that anytime we want to do anything, we need to make a new zone, right? Like,
the only thing that's so frustrating me, and this is my complaint about the beginning of this patch. You were going all over the fucking place for like 3 seconds. Like, champion, meet me at the halls of origination. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, Magni. And you get there, it's like, ah, the ceiling's coming down. Quick, back to the halls of Azeroth. Like, I just got here.
And then it's like, fine. Oh, now go back to the halls. And it's like, ah. It's
like, pick a place. And like, so you're constantly going between Old Doom and Vale of Eternal Blossoms. There's no quick way to get to either location. Can't you just put a portal to each place in the heart of Azeroth? Like, is it really that important to the size of the world that every time I go there, it takes me an extra 5 minutes? Like, yeah. Really? We can't just... Really? Okay, I guess.
It's a good thing I've been playing so much Classic, because, like, to me, even like, oh, I only have to use two of these special hearthstones to go to this one portal, then fly a bit to get to this place. That's not bad at all.
Yeah, compared to Classic getting around. So... I think I like 8.3. It's just, is this gonna like keep people busy until August?
No, I mean, you know,
it probably. I mean, I guess that's what Classic is there for. And like, you're bored with this? Go play. I mean, we'll get the level squish stat patch probably in June. Maybe be like my that. Guess.
Something like that.
So. I was a little disappointed. I made my High Mountain Tauren Death Knight, and they're like, oh, a new scenario for the Allied Race Death Knights. It's like. Bow before the Lich King and then go to Orgrimmar. Like, oh wow, it's cool.
Much. It's not much, but hey, at least it gets you going. You can beat Death Knights.
It's something.
Yeah. I am enjoying playing both of my Mecha Gnome and my Vulpira.
Your Trash Gnome.
Trash Gnome. It's so.
I slash spit at you.
That's the funniest thing on the World of Warcraft Reddit. Somebody was like, my first interaction in Stormwind on my Mecha Gnome was perfect. Because this guy has this goofy-ass looking Mecha Gnome and his stupid mechanical two-leg mount walking through Stormwind, and all you see is so-and-so spits on you. my Mecha Gnome looks pretty good. I'm not okay.
Yeah, you say so.
So everyone else is just bad at aesthetics, dude.
You say so.
Yeah. Once he gets his heritage armor, he's gonna be gold, literally. They think it's very golden.
Yeah.
Blats.
So I got a for $180.
Oh,
I got an Amazon Fire 7 tablet.
Are those good?
No,
but it's a screen.
It's a screen that runs Android. So I was able to get the Project xCloud beta running on there after hacking in the Google Play Store, and works pretty good. Turns out, ran around Destiny, did some driving in Forza just to test this afternoon, and for $180, I can't complain.
Go.
But it's funny. I don't think I actually got to talk about it on the show, but you know, Forza added their battle royale mode.
Yeah,
it's so close to being good.
You talked about this.
I don't think I did on the show. I think I talked about it to you.
No, you talked about this.
Yeah, if you said
you told a story about the thing you crashed into.
Did I? Yeah, I did crash into
you
that.
You have too
thing.
Many blatzes. You're blatzed.
I'm blatzed.
You're blatzed.
I have to watch another episode of Star Trek before I go home.
We'll sober you up. That's some Coke Zero.
There you go.
Don't have coffee. I have tea. Earl Grey.
Oh.
Doesn't that sound delightful?
It does. Have you ever put milk in? You don't like milk anyway.
No, I only like honey in my
I've
tea.
I've never had milk in tea. I need to try that?
I don't know.
I've had iced chais and chai lattes.
I've had chai. It's chai. It's just milk. It's milky. I don't like it.
I don't like
milk in my tea. I like honey in it. That's it. I try that Truvia stuff. Truvia is like real tingly.
Truvia?
Yeah. The Suvia or whatever it is, you know?
Well, Stevia.
Truvia is just Stevia, right?
Yeah, I was having a lot of that shit when I was doing keto.
Yeah?
It was fine.
Mm.
You have to use less than you think. It's very strong.
It is strong.
It's very strong.
It's strong. It's strong. Well, I guess we'll be probably talking about Picard a lot on this show because we'll probably be doing a lot of recordings after watching the new episode.
Yeah, we'll save it for the end of the shows in the future. So if you don't want to hear us talk about that week's episode of Picard, you could skip the end.
We know how many episodes this season is.
I don't know.
I assume it's not going to be like the old days where it's like 24 episodes.
No.
It'll be like 10.
Those days are gone.
Those days, not so.
We do know there's a season 2. We do know Whoopi Goldberg will be in it.
Yes, who could she be?
Yeah, right? But, yeah. Like Star Trek.
Yes, oh, Star Trek's always been great. And the nice thing about Star Trek is that from the very beginning, there's been a decent amount of bad Star Trek. So our Star Trek fans don't necessarily lose our minds the way Star Wars fans do. Right? It's fine. All right. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to go to all the places you find podcasts. And yeah, we'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Oh, bye-bye.